The Queen of Sheba. I was talking to a patient about the Queen of Sheba this week. He goes, "My wife thinks she is the Queen of Sheba." And I said, "Praise the Lord." He goes, "What do you mean?" He says, "Obviously you do not know the significance of the Queen of Sheba." So that's what this sermon is about, to let us know what God wants us to understand about the Queen of Sheba. The story comes from 1 Kings 10, and it also comes in 2 Chronicles 9. I'll be reading 1 Kings 10, verses 1 and 2. "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions, and she came to Jerusalem with a great retinue," that's a great entourage, "with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all what was on her mind." How would you classify the visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon? This was a royal visit, as well as a great honor she gave Solomon. This is not only documented in 1 Kings 10, but it is also in 2 Chronicles 9. So we'll be going back and forth between the two of those. Did you know that this visit by the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon was a fulfillment of prophecy? Let's turn to Psalms 72, which was King David's last psalm. Did you know that? King David has a bunch of other psalms, but they were also written by other people. How do we know it's his last psalms? It says it right at the end of the psalms. Psalm 72, verse 1. By the way, this psalm was for King Solomon, or for Solomon, his son. "Give thy king justice, O God, and thy righteousness to the royal son." Let's skip on down to verse 10. "May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts." Did that happen? Yes, it did. The royalty of Sheba did bring gifts to Solomon. Okay, down to verse 15. "Long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given unto him." Verse 20, the last verse. "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." Now this is the last psalm of David. Okay, let's skip over to 2 Chronicles 9, verse 1. Also tells us the same story of the Queen of Sheba visiting Solomon. Now stop right there. Why did God choose the children of Israel? What was his purpose for them? He could have chose someone else. He could have chose the Sebanites. He chose them that they might be a witness for other nations, that they may share their light. Their nation was to be a light for all other nations. And when the Queen of Sheba came to King Solomon, because she heard about his God, this was an ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy of what God wanted his people to do. Is it not our purpose today to be the light unto the world, to show them what Jesus has in store for them, and to show the world God's character? Okay, 2 Chronicles 9, verse 1. "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem and tested him with hard questions, having a very great retinue, and came bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind." Are we not here to tell the world of the precious truth and answer all their questions? But where do we get the answers? From God and from the Bible, God's Word. So that's The biggest reason we want to study and know our Bible, that we can give answers to our friends and neighbors and everyone about the precious truth. Verse 2 says, "And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from Solomon which he did not explain to her." Is there any question you can ask Jesus that he cannot answer? Can you imagine this great armada of camels coming across the desert because she has heard the wisdom of Solomon? What do we want to pray for today? That God will give us true wisdom, the true wisdom of God. Okay, where did the Queen of Sheba come from? If anybody of you have a map, and I do have a little map here, but you probably won't be able to see it. The country of Sheba is located in southern Arabia. Sheba means south country. So right down in the bottom of southern Arabia, at the bottom of the Red Sea, where this little isthmus comes together, is where the country of Sheba was from. It was very rich because it had access to the mines of Ophir and the gold mines of Havilah, but they also controlled the trade that went from the Indian Ocean to the Arabian Sea to the Red Sea up to the Mediterranean and to Europe. All that trade had to go through the isthmus there at the Red Sea. So now, take your ruler on your map, and you will find her trip was 1,400 miles each way. Wow, 1,400 miles on camel just to hear Solomon's wisdom. You need to really respect her for being able to make that kind of trip, just seeking wisdom. Did you know that Jesus speaks about the Queen of Sheba? Jesus speaks about the visit of the Queen of Sheba as a historical fact. Matthew 24:42, and also in Luke. In Matthew 24:42, it says, "Jesus said, 'The Queen of the South will visit at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here.'" What is this verse saying? There was even a greater son of David that is wiser than Solomon, and he is who? Jesus. If you strive for what Solomon had, the wisdom of Solomon, how much more should you want the wisdom of Jesus? We have both the wisdom of Solomon and the wisdom of Jesus right here in our Bibles, don't we? How did the Queen of Sheba hear about Solomon? How did she hear about his wisdom? Well, turn right back behind 1 Kings 10 and 1 Kings 9, 27 and 28. And it says, "And Hiram sent with the fleet his servants, seamen, who were familiar with the sea, together with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir and brought from there gold to the amount of 420 talents. And they brought it to Solomon." So these ships went back and forth. They had to stop at the straits there at the isthmus of the Red Sea, at the tax collectors for Sheba. And they would hear reports about what Solomon had done, the wisdom of Solomon, the glory of Solomon. And she was searching for truth. She realized that this king had the truth, and she wanted it more than anything. Do you want the truth as much as Queen of Sheba did? Would you pack up on a camel or a horse and drive 1,400 miles just to hear it? She was willing to give up everything and even go to the ends of the earth to find truth. Shouldn't we be that willing to know the truth? Solomon said in Proverbs 12, verse 28, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end there is death." You know what that means? There's really only one truth out there. Some men rationalize, this is truth, that is truth. I have the truth. But there is only one truth, and if you don't have that truth, the end thereof is death. So the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. Why did she come all that distance? Solomon 8, verse 11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies. All things that one might desire cannot be compared with her." She had all the gold, all the rubies, everything that this world could provide. But she didn't have the true wisdom from God, and she sought it. One thing we do know about the Queen of Sheba, she was fabulously wealthy. Who are some of the richest people in the world today? Sheikhs in Saudi Arabia. Oil sheikhs. Gold-plated Mercedes-Benz. You ever heard of them? Yeah, they have those. The tallest building in the world cost over $1 billion out there in the middle of a desert. She had the best of everything flowing through her country, but she wasn't happy. She wanted to know the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That is what she cherished, that wisdom, that knowledge. 1 Kings 10:1 says, "When she heard of the famous Solomon, she wanted answers." Psalms 19:10 says, "More to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and the honey dripping from the honeycomb." She had heard of Solomon's wealth. She had heard of his works. She had heard of his wisdom. She had heard of his worship, about the name of his God, and she wanted to know about his God. She wanted to know it all for herself. She must have composed a lot of questions and riddles and things to try and trick the smartest man in the world in that 1,400-mile trip to Solomon, don't you think? Do you know what she wanted to know? She wanted to know the truth for herself. Not just get the information from others, but to go to the source itself. We should go to the real source for truth today, shouldn't we? Do you want to experience it for yourself, or do you want to just take other people's word for it? Do you want to know Jesus, the greatest source of truth? You need it for yourself. It needs to be personal. Luke 11:31 says, "The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." That's Jesus talking again in Luke. God wants us to come and ask him questions, doesn't he? He doesn't want to just have us sit there idly and suck it up. He wants us to ask hard questions. Isaiah 19 verse 9 says, "Come now, let us reason together." He wants us to ask him questions. Do you ask God questions? She came all the way, and Solomon was a very busy man. Do you know how I know Solomon was a very busy man? Do you know how many wives he had? Do you know how many weddings he had to plan? I do. I just had one. It's a lot of work. Anyway, but Solomon stopped what he was doing and received her and gave her the time it took to answer her questions. That says a lot about him. Does Jesus today take time to receive us? Absolutely. He is the Son of David. He gives all the time and attention we ask for. We should give others all the time they need to find the truth, shouldn't we? I guess we will be here all afternoon then, seeking the truth. I hope any of you don't get hungry. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The Queen of Sheba came bringing a gift. Did Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, this is a question I want you to ponder because we're trying to be tricked today. Did Solomon and the Queen of Sheba have a love affair? The answer is no, that is a fable. Hollywood wants to turn it into a romance. That's where the money is. Do you remember the movie Queen of Sheba? Yul Brynner? Gina, I can't even pronounce her last name. They were in that movie. There's nothing at all in the Bible text that says Solomon and the Queen of Sheba had anything more than an intellectual relationship. She was coming seeking the truth. We don't know her age. Maybe she was 80. That kind of thought ruins the romantic picture, doesn't it? I want to destroy the romantic notion you may have because that will ruin the real message of this story. She is seeking the truth for wisdom, for God, and nothing to do with the relationship. What was the response to what she found? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 9, verses 3 and 4. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials and the attendants of his servants, and their clothing, his cupbearers and their clothing, and his burnt offerings, which he offered in the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. You know what that's saying? This is a picture of what God wants us to see in the church today. There is no more spirit in her, meaning to her that this was breathtaking. The expression breathless comes from this verse here in the Bible. If you know that word breathless, that comes from the way Queen of Sheba felt when she came to Solomon. Whose wisdom does Solomon represent? The wisdom of Jesus. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. In John it says, in my house are many mansions. Do you think that the mansions or houses Solomon had are better than the house Jesus has prepared for you? The Bible says we can't even imagine that. She saw this food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who comes to me will never thirst. This is the food that was in his house. The sitting of his servants. Can you imagine the spread for the Queen of Sheba that Solomon had? They probably had tuxedos or whatever else they wore. Can you imagine the spread, what it would be like to sit down with Jesus when we sup with him in his kingdom? That will be beyond imagination. Amen. Revelation 5:11 says, then I looked and heard, and the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voices of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands saying in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor, and glory, and blessing. What were they wearing at this feast in heaven? Suits, tuxedos? Revelation 4:4 says, they were wearing white robes, like the flaming sun. We don't even know the decor that we will be wearing in heaven. Like the Queen of Sheba, after meeting with Solomon, she saw all this and left her breathless. We too, who will see all this when we get to heaven, will be left breathless. How did she respond to all this? Second Chronicles 9, 5, and 6 says, "But I did not believe the reports until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. Blessed are those who believe without seeing." You need to see the Lord to be converted. What did Zacharias want when he climbed the tree? He wanted to see Jesus. When he saw him for himself, was his heart transformed? Yes, it was. What did the people need to do when they were in the wilderness and got bitten by the poisonous snake? They needed to look. Could you look for someone else at the snake? No, you had to look for yourself. We all need to see Jesus. She said, "I did not believe until I came and saw." Come to Jesus and you will see. And behold, half the greatness of your wisdom was not told to me. You surpassed the report of which I heard, is what she said. When the enemies of Jesus came or sent spies to trap him, they came back without him. And they said to him, "Why have you not brought him?" And do you know what was their response? Wow. Never a man speaks as this. They were breathless at the words of Christ. Anything I can tell you about Jesus is not even half of what it will be when you see him in heaven. Verses 8 in 2 Chronicles. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and sent you on this throne as king for the Lord your God. She saw his wisdom came from God, the real king. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8 says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Whenever we call on him, and what great nation is there that these statutes and ordinances, so righteous as all this law that I have set before you this day, what was the plan for God's people? You hear what Moses is saying? He says, 'My goal for you is you have the best truth there is. You have the truth. You are a nation of priests. You are a light to the world. When the people see your righteousness and statutes, they will say, that is the truth.' Do you know that every nation in this world, its civil law is based on the law of Moses? This story is the prime example of what God's will was for his people. He wanted to bless them. He said, 'If you will obey me, I will pour out to you eternal blessings.' God's plan was for other nations to come to them and find out about their God. That was the plan. He wanted it to shine around the world." So as she departed in 1 Kings 10:10, she said, "So she gave the king 120 talents of gold, a very great store of spices and precious stones. Never again came such abundance of spices as these, which the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon." Something else you notice, she had brought the best. What do you think made Solomon the happiest? The gold, spices, or precious stones she gave him? Or the questions she asked and the wisdom she wanted? What did Solomon want? What did he want out of this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Bring others with you in your search for truth. 2 Chronicles 9:12. Now Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, which was much more than she had brought to the king. The queen of Sheba represents the church, right? When we come to the house of God, we are seeking wisdom. When we bring our gifts, we do leave with more than what we bring. That is the way it is when you seek the wisdom of God. You cannot outgive God. It is more blessed to give than receive. When she left with more than she brought. She took the knowledge of God back to her home with her. Now that is God's plan for his church. He leaves us breathless. Final question. Are you preparing for the journey to go home with Jesus, who has the truth that will set us free? You know, we can't even imagine the freedom we have from sin. In heaven, we will know that freedom, the freedom from sin. I want to invite all the children to come up, and we're going to sing our closing song, This Little Light of Mine. So, kids, come on up. We're going to give you each a mic. It may not work, but we will have you singing with us. You. Won't it be nice when they have a children's choir from our school?
Yeah.
That'll be nice. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the story of the Queen of Sheba, what she represents in seeking the truth. We want to seek the truth, to study your word, and to know it and put it in our heart. In thy holy name, amen.